may be seated. I hope that as we're moving through this series, The Gospel Not Ashamed, and now as we have come into that sort of practical last section of the book of Romans, not ashamed to live out the gospel, I hope that you can begin to witness in your own life and in the life of Christ's community the incredible providential alignment, one might almost say the choreographed parallels of what God is saying to us in this chapter 12 and later on, and what is actually happening in the life of our church. Now, some of you are going, man, what are you talking about? Well, you hopefully will see that here this morning. God is not just an academic thing we study. He is actively working in our lives, as not just as individuals, but most importantly, as a body of Christ. And I hope that you take note of what is happening in your life and in the life of Christ Community Church and what is being taught from the Word of God. I hope that you have, because it's a tremendous blessing of the reality of God's very distinct blessing and grace to take such measures to not only give us a revelation in the Word of God to teach us these wonderful truths, but in such delicate and familiar ways, let us experience that as we're actually walking through it in our own lives. And that in very powerful ways. This past week was no exception in this regard. Last Sunday, we were introduced to Paul's teaching of the church as the body of Christ. And then all through this week, we were allowed to witness this local body of Christ Community Church be the body of Christ. And it was a wonderful thing to be part of. But for me, I just sort of sat back and watched it unfold. And it was so much of a blessing. And sort of recap what was going on last week. Look at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 12 in the book of Romans there, and you'll see where we were last week. Let me read those for you. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And we took great time to sort of work that down and talk about what that means as being a body. And Paul is using the soma, the somatic illustration of the physical body to teach us something about the body of Christ and the members. And so as we look at our own bodies, we know we have different members. You know, we have internal organs that do vital functions. We have eyeballs that see. We have tongues that talk. We have hands that feel and feet that run. And we've got all of these things, and we can all relate to that. But we can also relate when the body's dysfunctional, right? When everything's not working right. Any of y'all ever experienced anything like that? Not good. Not good at all. Sometimes parts of the body hurt a whole lot. So these are very real things for us. This past week, many of the members of Christ's community were hurting and grieving the loss of a loved one that immediately touched members of Christ's Community Church. That was Bobby Baldridge. Now, many of you, like myself, I didn't really know Bobby that well. I have met him a few times. Wonderful man, the times that I have met him. It was a bittersweet reality for the family as they walked through that. But it was a tremendous testimony of a servant of God going home to glory. And so the body of Christ's community was walking with those members that are directly connected to us and then to even that extended family as they were hurting and still do. It was powerful. And if you were there, you just witnessed it. You were like, wow. You couldn't believe what was going on. Now you might say, well, man, you know, everybody does funerals like that. I mean, Buddhists do funerals, Muslims do funerals, everybody, pagans, they do funerals, they have funeral rites, and they all come together and they grieve and all that sort of stuff. Let me assure you, when those other groups come together, it was nothing like what was going on when we were gathered together with that family and listening to the testimony that was flowing out of what was happening. And it's already been mentioned yesterday, members of Christ's community were celebrating the joyous act of marriage between Jody and Carrie and their families and friends that were here. And there again was the body of Christ's community celebrating with them. And all of that is now the reality of what we are dealing with here in this topic, rethinking spiritual living. Rethinking spiritual living. You say, again, man, everybody has weddings. Man, all religions have weddings, even pagans have weddings. Yeah, but I want to assure you, none of them went through a symbolic thing of demonstrating what they were trying to do in their life to rope themselves together with Christ and to tether themselves with that powerful imagery of Scripture that is the body, the bride of Christ, and Christ the groom, as we all look forward to that final consummation of Christ. How to live out the gospel, not ashamed. This morning, Paul's going to teach us a very simple lesson about the different gifts that he's given to the body that God has been so gracious to provide to us. So look there at the next verses. I'll read verse 6 through 8. We probably will not get very far into that, but we'll pick up later with that. But verse 6 through 8, just listen to these. He says, then, since we're one member of the body, is another thing. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the portion of his faith, if serving in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So Paul lists for us here seven gifts. Now there's a lot more gifts than seven, but he lists these seven here that have been given to the body of Christ. My understanding is that we all possess all seven of these gifts, and actually more than that. Typically when we talk, we go through spiritual inventory gifts and we say, these are my gifts, and we start thinking, these are just, that's my little gift set there, and that's all that I have. But here's the truth of the matter. These are all the gifts of the Spirit of God. And so if you have the Spirit of God, everything resident in you can be operationalized by the Spirit anytime He so pleases. Amen? So we really have the grace gift that God has given all of us, which is Himself in the third person of the Trinity. And this may be new. Maybe you've always just thought about, you know, there's these gifts and I got these and that person has those and I'm not the same. No. It's not true. Now, they function differently. And in the body, there is definitely offices and different functions of gifts. But let me hasten to say, and we'll begin to see this morning, that all the gifts are present in the body, in the members. Now, they're not all the same all the time, because that would be ridiculous, right? If everybody wanted to preach this morning, we would really have a big time. So God has a purpose in what he's doing, but I want you to begin to at least think through that process of how this happens. So let's just for a moment consider these gifts individually. We'll probably only get to a couple of them, like I say. The first one listed there is prophecy. You see that? And this is a verbal thing. And again, everybody has this gift of prophecy. Now we're not talking about foreknowledge of what's going to happen in the future. We're not talking about that. foretelling things that are going to happen. What we're talking about here is forthtelling. Forthtelling. And there's a couple of expressions of that. But he says, what does everyone do who prophesies? Well, Paul tells us, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening and encouragement and comfort over in the book of Corinthians. So if you are talking to your children or to other family members or to people in the church, to any Christian who is feeling discouraged or weak or unhappy, then you're prophesying, all right? You're trying to help them. That is part of our calling as light and salt in this world. Our Lord commissioned us to be witnesses for Him, testifying of Him. We all live under the obligation of the Great Commission. We are to hold forth the word of life to everyone who will receive it. We're to speak up, to strengthen people, to comfort one another, to tell our friends and neighbors of our hope that we have in Christ. We are to bear testimony to them about what Christ has done in our own life and how our faith is how we deal with everything that comes into our life. So we're speaking for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And then we challenge those people, not just in our words, but in our deeds, to trust Christ and to follow Him by faith. So again, if you were part of these events that I've mentioned earlier, I want you to think with me what was happening there. This past week, over and over again, was a feast of prophesying. Like many of you, I stood in a visitation line for almost 2 hours to get down there to visit with the family. And when I was in there, I was listening to everybody. And, you know, they were talking about lots of different things, but they were all talking about Bobby and what was going on in their life and how he had impacted their life. It was incredible. At Bobby's funeral, there was a fountain of prophesying, particularly once you begin to see all of those speakers as they got up. And then they read all these letters and all these cards from the family. It was flowing in abundance. It was a testimony after testimony, bubbling up, bubbling forth the most refreshing, thirst-quenching, living water you could ever taste of. It was a celebration, and it was powerful. And it was because of people who love the Lord, like Bobby loved the Lord. Truly, no one should have walked away from that experience thirsting. It was Christ in abundance. Now, you can go to a Buddhist funeral or a Muslim funeral and all kinds of other funerals, but you're not going to get that, right? That's a distinctive of the body of Christ. And then yesterday, I mean, the whole wedding itself is a God-given testimony of God's abundant grace in action. But if that were not enough, we who were there were exposed to testimony after testimony of how God had worked in not just Jody and Carrie's life, but, and I hope you had some time. I was just surprised they all showed up. And I was just going from one to the other to the other. And I was introducing myself. And almost immediately, we were sharing testimonies. And they were prophesying. And they were saying how blessed they were. And they were sharing that with us. And it was so powerful. Brothers and sisters celebrating. I'll just recount one of those encounters I had. It was a young man by the name of David. I saw him there sitting at the table. I went up and introduced myself. I engaged him in conversation. And again, with just in minutes, he had shared his testimony. And then he took me. And this was so precious. He goes, come. And he took me and he started introducing me to the other people that were there who had spoken to his life, who had influenced his life for Christ. And he was just filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesying about how these people had poured their lives into his and how blessed he was to be amongst their company. Wow. It helped. He said, I used to be a religious person, but now I know Jesus. I used to do religious things, but now I follow Christ. And it was awesome. It was awesome. It was a incredible testimony. Now, true, there is the office of prophecy in the church, what we call preaching, what I'm doing right now. And that is a distinct office and calling in several ways, as it is in the function of the body. But everywhere you go, you know, on airplanes, at the workplace, in the hospitals, wherever you're at, when you start testifying, you're preaching. Now, some people do it more than others, and that's okay. We're going to talk about the gift of servants in a moment. And servants are really not the most vocal all the time. They're sort of low-key. That's what the testimony for Bobby Baldridge was. But he was a vocal, too. And I find that there's a sweetness when those guys that are servants that you never really hear much from, when they come up to you and they start talking and they start saying things, man, that's sweet. And what they're doing is they're encouraging. Man, I've been so encouraged by so many of you who come to me and you don't know what's going on in my life and you speak those things to me. And I'm like, wow, that encourages me. It builds me up. It helps me to keep going. So thank you so much for that. But it's a beautiful thing to watch what was going on this week in all the testimonies was preaching, but it was in the form of personal, factual, experiential, and tangible expressions of gospel, and not always exegetical, grammatical expressions of preaching like we're doing now, right? Different. But the same gift. You see that? And that's what I want us to see, is that these gifts are operationalized in all of us. It may be a mother to a child in the way that that child and in that relationship understands. And who's the best to do that? That mother, right? And it may be a friend who, man, you have been walking with for a long time and they've fallen. And like we were singing about earlier, you know, Christ in you comes and you restore them and help pull them back up, you know, to follow Christ. It's a beautiful thing. That's the difference, though. Prophesying and preaching is to give a reasoned interpretation of revelation of Scripture so that the preachers are not foretelling, they're foretelling the wonders of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's different. And there is one expression that everyone in the body has in this gift of prophecy, and then there's another official expression of prophecy in the office of preacher, but it's the same gift. And so I encourage you, I exhort you, utilize that gift of prophesying as you go about. It encourages, it lifts people up, it builds them up because it is the Word of God and it is powerful. It will not return void. Prophecy today, formally then, to preach as I exercise that gift before you week after week, but it is informally how every member is to preach day by day, all the days of their life, like the testimonies that we have heard all week from so many people, not preachers at all, but man, were they prophesying, amen? And what a boon of reality for everyone who heard and experienced those things. How awesome is our God? So that's the first gift that Paul says, we got. You got that, right? You know, over in Ephesians, he talks about the riches of Christ. Well, man, he's lavishing on us the inheritance of the saints, the riches of Christ, the gifts. He's lavishing them upon us. And there's nobody else on planet Earth that has that. No one else has that, this gift of prophecy. But what's he go to next? The next is service. He says, let us then serve one another. Wow. Service. If service in his serving, serve. Isn't this a beautiful coupling together of these two as they come side by side? To have these two great gifts of Christianity right up front, next to one another, in that order. To prophesy and then to serve. These are the two great functions of the body of Christ. To speak the things of God and to serve the needs of this lost world, particularly the bodies where we serve. Prophecy has to do with a man's ignorance. And we've spoke much about that. And Paul and Jesus said, I would not have you ignorant. And this is why he teaches us, because we're all ignorant, amen? And so prophecy has to do with giving people something they don't have, which is the teachings of God. Service has to do with man's misery, with his misery, living under the curse, all the effects of sin, all the bad things we fall into, all the stupid things that we do and say, all of that. They were the two functions of our head, Jesus Christ, when he was upon this earth. He prophesied and he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And he's our example. He spoke the things of God and he served the needs of the people. And the body, Christ's community, is to be like our head in this way. We have the same double office that he had. We prophesy and we serve. For some of us, our gifts lie in the direction of insight and utterance, and our mouths are opened, our hearts are enlarged, we are given liberty to speak and to make Christ known to people. Then there are others who would have the greatest difficulty in speaking all the time, and yet, man, can they serve. Amen? And I witnessed so much of that this past week. There are many passages on the gift of serving. We've already looked up at this since we got in this chapter, but just listen to these words from Luke 22. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." How powerful our Lord's words. He's taking us to task about the way the world functions. In the culture of Jesus' day, to serve someone was highly demeaning. In Christianity, the polar opposite is to be the case. The greatest person in a congregation is the one who serves, and often totally unknown by the body of Christ in so many ways. Again, all of us can serve, but God has supernaturally gifted some people with the formal gift of service. It is the way by which they not only help and give comfort to the body, but as God has ordained, it is the means by which all of us are to obtain the greatness of the kingdom of God. You know, I've said this already, and I'm going to keep pounding it as long as I can remember it. What we are doing, we have no idea the effects of what we're doing. We think we do, and we often look for the results. But let me just hasten to say, you're doing it carnally with your own eyes and your own reasoning. You do not know what you're doing. You know, Bobby Baldridge probably saw some of the effect of his life, but he has no clue. Man, when you brought all that together, and still, that's just a piece of it. One man, he said, look, if we really got honest here and started talking about this, we'd be here into next week and still going. It's true. We do not know what we're doing when it comes to laying up treasures in heaven. Again, all of us can serve, but God has supernaturally gifted some people with this gift in a formal way. You see these people. You know these people, I hope. It is the way that they operate in a compassionate way that is beyond me. My gift is not service primarily, but I can serve. But I'm just telling you, I'm just stupid when it comes to this stuff, right? It's usually the ladies who go, he's just stupid. And that's okay. I got that, you know. That's not my primary thing. Jesus teaching here reverses what we all believe and witness in the fallen world regarding servants. As believers, we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that when we see this, we just sit back and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, I want you to just slow down and pause for just a moment and think about when somebody with the gift of service has had a major impact on your life. A major impact on your life. Have you ever been in a place where you were stuck and there was really nothing that you could do to move things forward? And I'm talking in ministry. I'm talking about living out the gospel, not ashamed. And somebody, God sent them into your life, people that were already in your life, maybe right around you, and their act of service captivated you and drew you up out of your despondence and your frustration. And you sort of got up and you said, like Elizabeth Elliot is famous for saying, just do the next thing. And you took that next step. And before you know it, you were walking again. And before you know it, God was opening up the vista so that you could see. And you were like praising God. And how did that happen? It happened because someone who has this gift of service was operating in the Spirit, in that gift of service, and they were just doing what that gift caused them to see. See, they see with different eyes than you see. They hear with different ears than you hear. And they function in different ways than you do. But man, when you see that, you're just like, wow. And you step right into that draft of where those people are going. Amen. And it's so beautiful when you begin to see how God opens those things up. Wow. Be transformed by that. Don't be conformed. If you just look at things from a worldly way, you're going to get discouraged all the time. If you just look at things from a worldly way, you're going to become hypercritical of people. You're going to be hypercritical of the church. And you're going to run the church down. And you're not going to see the body life that's happening. I've already said this, but we don't know what God is doing. We think we do. We think we can see with pure eyes, but that's not the case. Wow. And all of this sort of happens when we are repeatedly exposed to the teaching of the Word of God. And that's the next gift. Number three there, if you look back at verse 7, he says, if service and serving are he who teaches in his teaching. Now, this is a 2T3 thing, guys. You know, I know many of you have started getting into that a little bit more. The first thing is to teach the Word of God. Without that, there's nothing else in 2T3, right? It's teaching, reproof, correction, training. The Word of God is profitable for those things. And there's different ways that that happens, but you got to have the teaching. And this is why this is so important. So this third gift, you can see how important verbal communication is of the things of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. We teach the world about God. He's the Creator. That He is the one who made everything to be the way that it is. That Adam, our earthly father, ruined that world. That Christ, the last Adam, came to save that world. We teach people about those three R's. The ruin from sin, the redemption from Christ, and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. We teach them the good news of the incarnation and the atonement and the coming kingdom, the cradle, the cross, the crown of the Son of God who came to give us life. And again, if you just look at all weddings and all funerals, they're not the same, because Christian weddings and Christian funerals exemplify and exalt and revel in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they don't, then they're not Christian. It was the news of how God transformed Bobby that radiated out and everybody heard. And that by the Son of God. And how, as man, God made Jesus Christ both prophet, priest, and king. And man, in the testimonies of his sons and his daughters-in-laws and everybody else, you could see it. I remember just the words of the daughters-in-laws who were sitting there, because he had three sons, and they wrote letters to him saying, thank you for being you. Thank you for loving Jesus more than you loved anybody else. Thank you for loving Kathy like nobody else could love her, because your son is trying to do that to me. Now, guys, that's a testimony right there. It's a testimony. And it was echoing back into eternity. And they even went in and started talking about multi-generational impact, which is the covenant promise that God gave to Abraham, right? Not only to you, but to your children for generations. How great is our God? Wow. In short, the good news is the teaching that God has executed His eternal intention of glorifying His Son by exalting Him as a great Savior for great sinners. Wow. And so, you know, it's not at these events where we go, you got to be perfect, right? You know, it's you got to be sinless. No. Man, Christianity is for those who are imperfect and sinners. That's what makes it so awesome. So Paul proclaims, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles, and to the whole world. That's the gospel, not ashamed. That's the teaching. And this is what you got to bring forth into your life. You live it out, but you speak it to your kids. You speak it to your wife. You speak it to your sons and your daughters and your grandkids, your uncles, your aunts, the co-workers, everybody forever. That's good. It's staggering, but it's good. It's incredible, but it's good. It is the inevitable response to reading the New Testament. This is what we are to teach. In all of our teaching, and this is probably the last thing we look at, we must exhort or encourage one another. Look back at verse 8. For he who exhorts in his exhortation, he encourages in his encouraging. Again, think of the Apostle Paul, always careful to encourage and to exhort these congregations he's writing these epistles to. Even in this letter of Romans, listen to these words from chapter 1. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Christ Community's faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. You know that? We have people all over the place that have been touched by this congregation because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I was just telling Dylan, because, you know, I don't know if you remember this. Some of you weren't here then. But we had this little walking stick. You remember this staff? As this team went to the Nuba Mountains, we carried that and we gave that to a leader over there that would be sort of a Moses-like leader of those people. And that little staff, that little walking stick, is over there in Sudan right now with those people who were touched by the gospel of people who came from this congregation and went over there and blessed them. And that has happened over and over and over again as teams have gone back and back and back. Same thing with the Navajo. Same thing in China. Same thing in Indonesia. Same thing in lots of places. And right here in the nearby. Amen? This is the power of the teaching of the gospel. And we're to exhort and to encourage each other in this. And this is what Paul's saying. He goes, man, your faith is being talked about throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Paul had never saw these people. He'd never been to Rome at this point. You see how we're knit together here? For I long to see you so that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. What was that spiritual gift, do you think? Oh, Paul's a master theologian. He's writing, you know, most of the New Testament. He's definitely going to give them wisdom. He's going to give them knowledge. He's going to give them all kinds of stuff. He is a vessel ready to be used of God. The apostle of the heart set free. A spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by his other's faith, both yours and mine. He wants to encourage them by his faith. And he is encouraging, isn't he? I don't know about you. I get greatly encouraged when I look and see what God has done and is doing in my life and then the lives of those around me. He is encouraging them, and that is typical of how he deals with every congregation. He ends this letter with a long list of names of people. Here and there, people that have known him, people like Phoebe, who's going to carry this letter there. He greets them. He is at pains to express his awareness of the qualities that they manifest and how his own debt to them is great. Wow. Do that. Encourage people. Let them know how they have impacted your life. Think of Jesus encouraging his disciples. He says, I'm not going to call you servants, he says. I'm going to call you my friends. That's a great thing. My friends. When they were anxious and they knew, and he was telling them, I'm leaving you. He comforted them. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back and I'm going to take you there. He tells them of all the preparation he's making for them. He's coming. Do you believe that? He's coming. This world is not your home. This world is passing away. Our life is a vapor. It's a vapor. It's a wave cast upon the ocean. You see, it is in exhortation we spur one another on. We have a vision. We have a passion. We have momentum. People are motivated to give some of their time, talent, and treasures to help because people exhort them. Now, let me just say, some of you who are members of this body were not at either of these events this past week. Now, maybe you were providentially hindered from being there. Maybe you were not. But what a blessing you missed. What a blessing you missed. Because you weren't part of the body life. You weren't participating in the body life. Listen to these words. You were not exercising your gift in the body. What happens when you don't exercise your body? Yeah, it atrophies, doesn't it? And we all are guilty of that, right? I mean, we try. But sometimes we just don't get up and go. We don't exercise. Well, after long periods of that, your body begins to atrophy. It begins to grow weak. The body. Many members, one body. I exhort you, I encourage you, participate in body life. Don't be saying it won't work, but rather, let's try it. Let's stimulate one another to good works. Let's rise to the challenges of our day, Christ Community Church. Let's be encouraged. Let's be vigilant. Let's be there. It's our time now. One of the things about being a member of the body is you have to be there. So don't be absent, guys. If you're providentially hindered, I got that. But don't be absent. Let us walk together. Let us talk with one another. Let us inspire and encourage one another in the work. There are many of you here that inspire me. I just need to see you. You don't even have to speak to me sometimes, but you encourage me. I don't have to hear you preach or even teach, and you exhort me. Your service and your presence in this body are important. Don't grow weary, but rally and stay the course. Now, I'm going to say that the gifts that are coming are powerful gifts. The ones we looked at are the primary gifts. We live in a time in history when the church and being a member of the church and being involved in the ministry of the gospel is not just undervalued, it is actually ridiculed and mocked by many. It is the case that elders and deacons are stock figures in comedy, tragedy, and even appalling evil, both in the media and real life. So it's understandable that people look at the church a certain way. But it's more important to see what God says. Paul was inspired here to speak of the whole issue of body life, of how God has equipped His church to carry out and to live out the gospel, not ashamed. The 21st century and all of its distortions and craziness has not taken God by surprise. No. And so, be encouraged, be exhorted to serve, to teach, to prophesy. Start it today. There's much to do. It's time to rethink spiritual life in the body of Christ. Stand with me if you would.